In the name of Jesus, we continue to study the book of Daniel. So yesterday we finished chapter 3. Do you have any question? If you have question, please raise your hand so we can discuss. Otherwise, we will continue. Because we have only 8 hours to finish it. But basically, we cannot finish the whole 12 chapters. But probably you can go to chapter 7, one chapter further to what you have learned from the SSC maybe. But hopefully, this kind of a chapter by chapter study can give you a deeper and more in-depth of teaching about Daniel. Okay, so in chapter 3, we study that is a test of faith. Now, in chapter 4, it's a special. Actually, if we remember from the introduction, from chapter 2, verse 4 to chapter 7, are written in Aramaic, right? Aramaic. So this is for the Babylonians, especially for Gentiles. They can read and understand the message of the Lord. Okay, so can someone turn the light off? Maybe this side. Otherwise, it's not clear enough. Is it better? Yeah, okay. So chapter 4 actually is a truly remarkable chapter because it is actually an official Babylonian document written by the king Babylon himself. Nebuchadnezzar, he write down what happened to him. So basically, this is we'll give you the title, an old-fashioned testimony. This is how God transformed him, how he received the lessons, he learned the lesson from the Lord. So basically, this is just like his personal testimony to everybody publicly. So he made this testament to everyone in his kingdoms. They have to know how God transformed him. So we will see later in his writing, his tone, how he speech, how he make a statement has been changed. It's like a new king appear to people. So it is his personal account of his conversion to this one true God. We know Babylonians, they worship idols, which make of gold, silver, bronze, iron, everything, all the material, right? But now they have to, at least the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he knows who is the true God. So the outline, from verse 1 to verse 3, is a declaration written by the king after he has experienced the work of the Most High God that was upon him. So actually this chapter from verse 4 is a past tense. The dream he dreamed, the interpretation make my Daniel, and then how the dream has been fulfilled in his life. Then he recovered from some people call his sickness. But actually this is God's lesson. After he recovered, Then his understanding, wisdom restored, and he made this declaration, you know, declaration to everybody. So this in verse 1 to verse 3. From verse 4 to 18, this is a dream received. First, this is the second dream the king received from the Lord. From verse 19 to 27, this is a dream revealed. Revealed. From 28 to 36, the dream fulfilled. Fulfilled. And then 37, verse 37, the lesson he learned. Okay, so it's just, so all the, actually from verse 4 to 36, it's all about the things happened before. Okay, so verse 1 to 3, and then we can see the dream, how the dream God controlled it, and then one by one we can see, and he learned the lesson. Okay. So let's turn to verse 2. Verse 1 to 3, we have a brother, Mike Lee Priestley. Okay, thank you. To all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Now, he said, peace be multiplied to you. As a king, an emperor, this kind of greeting is special. Peace be with you. Just like a New Testament time, right? When Paul, he wrote letters, always greet with peace and joy. Right? But to Nebuchadnezzar, he learned the lesson. Now, his life has changed. Peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. So, this actually is a summary of the effect of God's judgment. How? Right? Because he learned the lesson, then now he recorded what happened. So this happened just 7 times before he had been boasting about his own power and the majesty as king of the earth. Because in verse 4 we will see how he boasted himself. He made mistake before. And then he was punished, lived in the wilderness for 7 times. In verse 16. And that 7 times passed over him. 7 times. Some translation make it years, 7 years. But actually we don't know how long is the time, okay? So it's some scholars just assume maybe 1 year, but we just make it 7 times. No matter how long, but it's a God's appointing time. Okay. So after he gone through all this kind of the experience, now he is personal witness to the power and the majesty of kingdom, heaven. Okay, so how he reflect his past. So the king acknowledged that God has perform signs and wonder for him, right? But in what context does he praise them? I mean, the signs of wonders. Let's see. In verse 16, it say about heart. Let's read verse 16. Sister, I have a sister, Kathleen. Kathleen, please read. Okay, let his heart be changed from that of a man. So, God's wonders and signs want to change people's heart. So that's why we call, what is the most significant miracle in our life? When our heart been changed, it's a miracle. People tend to very stubborn. Our heart is so hardened, not that easy to change, but God can do it, right? So signs for believers affirm faith, but for unbelievers, it condemns them for their unbelief. So both are proven by what they do from the heart. So if we believe God, When we see a sign or miracle, then we confirm that God is a living God. God is Almighty. So signs, wonders, miracle is important to make us sure. For sure, God is here. But for unbelievers, these signs eventually will condemn because they don't believe. Even they witness the miracles, they still insist their own way. So the judgment come, they have no excuse because God display his mighty to them, to everybody. So our heart actually is important. So when we witness something or we observe some phenomenon, we have to always consider, do I believe? Do I really believe? So when we see someone, we see Holy Spirit. As a preacher, we just witness how the Holy Spirit changed a person. Their attitude, their heart, the way they interact with others change. Why? Because miracle happened. Right? So this is a sign. So what is the truth that Nebuchadnezzar's ultimate testimony reveals to us from verse 1 to verse 3? Actually, in 37, he makes the final conclusion. We have to learn this conclusion first. 37, the last verse in his testimony. 37, Brother Jeremy, please read. Okay, circle the verse. For those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Because the king used to be very proud of himself, how much achievement he had done, right? He has a lot of pride, but God put him down, and God restored him. So this is how God trained him, trained this king. He actually is a tool of God. So those who walk in pride, God is able to put down. Let us all understand this lesson. Because pride is an origin of all sins, actually. How Adam and Eve sinned against God? Because of pride. They want to be just like God. How, you know, Lucifer, this so bright angels, they serve in front of God. They corrupt, how? Pride, right? So, this is important. What is probably the first most remarkable indication in the king's address to all the people that prove he has been profoundly changed? From verse 1 to verse 3. Actually, this first is how he greeted his nation, right? The people. So, he sent them peace. So, which reflects a serious change in his personal treatment of others. In verse 27, let's read verse 27. This is the advice from Daniel. Daniel give him a suggestion. Let's read verse 27. Let me call Rebecca Lin. Yes. Okay, so, okay, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off all the sins by being righteous. Your iniquity, also get rid of your iniquity by showing mercy to the people, to poor, right? So, the king used to be very cruel, unmerciful. He could be commit a lot of the sin against God. But now, he changed, right? His heart actually softened. He sent peace, everyone had peace, because peace is important. Okay? So, the second section from verse 4, now we go into the his dream. How does verse 4 set the atmosphere for this chapter? In verse 4? Brother Guan Xun. Okay. So, what is atmosphere? The situation at that time? It was a time of peace. Right? Prosperous. The king felt so secure. But it would turn out to be a false security. Actually, in this time, in chapter 4, from verse 4, the king Nebuchadnezzar conquered Egypt, actually. Egypt has been put under his feet, under his authority. So, he basically ruled over all the area from Babylon, Assyria, to Jerusalem, down to South Egypt, all is under his dominion. You can see how he felt so peace and prosperous. But this is a time of danger. This is what in Chinese say, 生于忧患，死于安乐. When you feel so peace, so good, be aware, because it could be a big danger came upon you. Or you may just corrupt. In this time, your heart may be just put out. Then our behavior will change. The same situation we will repeat, we will see it in chapter 5. So what might be significant about the mention that the king of Babylon was flourish in my palace? Because in verse 4, right? He actually is in Chinese, he said, 享受荣华富贵. He just enjoys all his achievements. His palace actually is quite good. If we look at the historical record, his palace was the site of the famous Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It probably was at the height of his reign. At this time, actually, the time is about 570 BC. Do we remember which year he conquered the kingdom of Judah? Which year? 586 or 87 BC. He conquered. And then he conquered the Sidon and Tyre. Then eventually he went down to the south to conquer Egypt. So the king take about 14 years to finish all the battles. After he finished, he conquered Egypt and then he returned to Babylon. That's how he feels. So I just nourishes in the palace. Okay? You can go to online to check how glorious the kingdom is and the city of Babylon. A crisis may be incubating when we are resting in peace and safety of the world. If we have peace just because of our worldly achievement, then be aware of. But if we have peace in Christ, then that is a true peace. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 to 6, please turn to this verse. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 to 6. Sister Jasmine. Thank you. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. And for the king Nebuchadnezzar, his pride just showed. So there is no peace without the Prince of Peace. Right? Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace. The only true peace and safety that anyone can rest is in Jesus Christ. When we abide in him, then we have peace. We have joy. The true prosperity is there. Okay? So always remember, our peace must come from Lord Jesus Christ. So how does this dream in verse 5 compare in terms of its general theme to the previous dream? In chapter 2, the king also had a dream, right? Verse 5, please read. Chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. Father, let me, is it called Dennis, right? So many Dennis. Dennis Chen. Oh. Chapter 4, verse 5. Okay. I saw a dream which made me afraid. The thought on my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. So, but in chapter 2, this is a dream, right? So, this both dream provide insight into the future. Actually, this is the future. Future of the king's realm and the kingdom. The second dream is more on his personal issue. All the dreams relate to the future, either in the kingdom or for the king. In chapter 4, this dream specially for the king himself, directing his heart. So that's why sometimes if we don't learn the lessons, God will do other way, right? To this king, God wants to make him really worship the true God. Because he is so important. From chapter 1 to chapter 4, all talking about this king Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? So compare how the wise men of the king behave in chapter 2 and chapter 4. Because from verse 6, and the king called all the wise men come in, right? In chapter 2, verse 4, they say, tell your servants the dream and we will give the interpretation. Meaning, if you say what you dream, then we have ability, we are capable to interpret for you. But without saying, we don't know, okay? Okay, but is there a case? No. In chapter 4, verse 7, I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. So it's not a matter of they know the dream or not. The fact is they are incapable to interpret. Why? Because the message is from God. They are not connected to God. How do they know the meaning? How can they interpret the dream for the king to know the future? No way. So this is the fact. What is the fact concerning to the magicians, astrologers, chaldeans, soothsayers? What? No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Right? So which verse talking about it? Which verse? No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Which verse? Many of us actually are IE teachers, right? Any verse? From where? Sister. Ruth. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Thank God. You memorize the verse. It's important. Try to memorize it. So in order to know God's will, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key point. If we don't connect to the Lord, we are just outsider. We wander outside, not surrounding the with the Lord. How can we know God's will? How can we receive the message? No way. So if we don't pray, if we don't read Bible, there is no position to say, how can I know God's will? Okay? How does verse 8 describe the king's true understanding about the true God? Verse 8. Brother Toby. Okay. So, verse 8, at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. Actually, this is in different translation, the spirit of holy gods. It's not the NKJV say the holy gods capital. No. The original text is not that. And I told the dream before him, saying. Okay. So this verse, actually, we can see, in spite of his past encounters with God, in chapter 2, chapter 3, the king already encountered God's works so deeply, right? But in spite of belief in his existence and even acknowledging him. So does the king encounter with God? Yes. Does the king believe God exists? Yes. Does he know God's power? Yes. But this king never changed his heart. He still consider this God is God of Daniel. Huh? His heart, he still worshiped his own God. So that's why he called Daniel, is called Belshazzar. Belshazzar, right? According to the name of my God, according to my name of God. Actually, this if you study the name, the meaning of names in chapter 1, you know. Okay, what is the spiritual message mentioned in the dream by a watcher, a holy one, in verse 17? Let's move quickly. Verse 17. This is a message from the one who proclaimed. Verse 17. 60 Emmy. Emmy. Only one Emmy, right? Okay, thank you. So the decision is made is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the Holy One. Okay, so the message is, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. So at the end, at the end of the verse, the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Judgment always work of two results, right? To save the soul chosen to change, or to destroy the soul, refusing to do so. God has done so many wonders, and to show the king be humble before him, but his heart never changed. So that's why then the judgment come. This is the final discipline God make to the King Nebuchadnezzar. So if we decide to change, then we are good, because we learn the lesson. If we refuse to change, then it's another story. So the decision is yours. After we learn so many classes, and then you decide which way you want to go. Okay? So what is a personal message from God to the king in verse 17? What is the message? God give it to whomever he will and set over it the lowliest of men. The kingdom, the power, God give it to whoever he want. So God is the, he is the master, right? He even can hand the kingdom to the lowliest one. So when we are in certain position, don't consider, oh, I'm good, I'm excellent, so that's why I can reach this level. It's wrong. That's because God's grace. Right? God can give any position to anybody. So it's not a true, always not a true, the smartest one can be a president of the United States, right? Someone may just mark the president so lowly, you know what I mean. You know, sometimes a leader may be not that smart or skillful, but because God give them, what can you say? Well, it's God's will. God control. God is the king. So the king is God's to give to anyone he chooses, even the lowest one, amen. So don't be disappointed if I'm not smart. Because we may compare with others, say, oh, someone is so smart, so bright, you know, they are good in everything. But I'm just a nothing. It's not a matter. The matter is whether I connect to the Lord. If my life pleases the Lord, God will give us whatever he wants. Most of the time, it is beyond your expectation. Yeah. Something you never think about it, God will give it to you. So this is called miracle. This is called grace. How is Daniel is a typical example of a true prophet where the message is concerned from verse 19 to 27? Because we are out of time, we cannot go more detail. From 19 to 27, right? Do you remember the section? 19 to 27 is his interpretation, right? Daniel, he is a true prophet because he has compassion for the message and always speak the plain truth faithfully, whether it is good news or bad news. So true prophet always say the truth. The truth. So he just delivered the message. He doesn't manipulate the things, make someone happy. This is called faithfulness. Right? So we can see how Daniel in verse 19 he feels so troubled. This message actually is very serious. Something is going to take place for the king. But he said, if you are Daniel, do you dare to say it? How is Daniel is a typical example of a true prophet where the intent recipient of the message is concerned? Verse 19, because now he interpreted for the king, right? For a king. A true prophet has sincere compassion for the recipient, even he felt the burden to deliver the truth. Because that's why he said in the verse 19, please read verse 19, Brother Matthew, but not Matthew, 19. Chapter 4:19. Okay. Everyone have your own Bible, right? Yes, right? Okay. So you better be ready, okay, in the chapter. Okay, so the Daniel said, okay, Lord, say, my Lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. But actually, this message is for the king himself. So this is called, he have compassion about the message regarding to the person. So what is the meaning of a tree as a symbol of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom? A tree, right? See, in chapter 4, talking about tree. It refers to a kingdom. So this has often been the symbol of an earthly kingdom throughout the scripture. So from Ezekiel 31, Matthew chapter 13, the parable of Jesus, he's talking about a tree, a kingdom. Of course, in Matthew chapter 13, some in our church, we interpret in different way. But usually, like the kingdom of Israel, is a vine, right? A vine, a vineyard, all different symbol. But in Daniel, the tree symbolize a kingdom. So this is on earth. But another kingdom from above, is forever, everlasting kingdom. It's a kingdom of saints. So this verse, talking about that. What is the significance of the mention in verse 13 and 23 of a watcher and the Holy One? This man, who is the man? We can see how angels are very active in the affair of the nations of the world, because they are servant, right? They are servant of God. Show the greater spiritual authority behind them. Angel has been given authority to deliver a message regarding to the children people. So that's why in chapter 10, how angel came to Daniel, deliver the message, and to comfort him. Okay? So this the angels, the name of angels mentions in Book of Daniel many times. How is Daniel a typical example of a true prophet in verse 27? Let's conclude this verse. This class with this verse, 27. 27, we learned it before, right? We don't have to repeat it. True prophets of God always call people to repentance. That's why he suggests the king, you treat others in different ways. You cannot continue in your, consider you are the best, you are the king, you are the ruler. Have mercy to others, do righteousness, right? Then your peace, your kingdom may prolong. Otherwise, it's finished. It's time. So it's a true prophet. Always provide a way to out, right? Repentance is important, it's key to king. Okay, let's kneel down and pray to conclude this class.